What's up, Breakthrough Success listeners? Mark Roberti, the podcast and coach, here helping people launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts. And one of the things that I feel like you know, and I know, and we all know is that if we want to be successful and hit our goals, we have to be very ambitious. But there is a double-edged sword to ambition, and that is this idea of burnout. So if you've ever heard of the classic example of golden handcuffs, if you've ever heard of the person who's become super successful but has no time to spend with family, or if you've heard of the person who isn't that successful, isn't fulfilled, isn't happy with their money, but has time to spend with family, I mean, we all want the ambition. We all want the success. But at the same time, we want to be able to live beyond our work. Our work is very important to us, but we want to have both sides. And since we only live one life, we should really think about how we can have both of those pieces of the equation. So if you're someone who wants the ambition and you want to avoid burnout and you want to live a happy, fulfilled life, this is the episode for you. The guest who joins us today, she has devoted her entire career to helping others reach their highest potential in their personal and professional lives. Our guest is also the founder of Well-Being Drives Success, which is a multifaceted platform designed to serve those in our workforce who strive for exceptional wellness and extraordinary success. Her first book, Reinvent the Wheel, teaches people how top leaders leverage well-being for success and how you can leverage those principles as well. So our guest who joins us for this episode of Breakthrough Success is none other than Megan McNeely. Megan, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mark. Hi, everybody. It's great to be here. Thank you so much. I think this is such an important topic. I'm so glad you're featuring this. Excellent.
Megan, I'm so happy to have you on Breakthrough Success. I feel like this is such a big topic because there are people who, I mean, it's different with the web and stuff because now you can work wherever you are. Like you could, like podcasting, I could podcast 24/7. Anytime that I feel like podcasting, I could just go to the mic. So it's amazing in the sense we could keep working, but at that same time, that privilege, if we overuse it and we don't really think about at a subconscious level how we're living the rest of our lives, it could be really bad. So can you a little bit with us, like how you first realized, like, hey, something's not making sense here, and what's your solution to what you refer to as this breakneck culture?
Oh, excellent. So I have, from the very beginning of my career, I noticed and fell into a trap. There's a trap out in our culture that success should come first. That should be primary. And then well-being will come later when you have the time or money to handle it, when you have the time to pay attention to it. I fell right into that trap. I was working 10 hours a day at my career. I'm sure a lot of your listeners can relate. And there is this culture of hustle, you know, until you're successful, you don't deserve to relax. You need to show up powerfully, keep it going. And when you cross that moment of terrific, success, then you can reap the rewards of a relaxation afternoon. So what I learned the hard way is that can be crushing to yourself. There is a tightrope, as you and I were talking about, between stress and striving. And, you know, we're striving, I was getting, title upon title. I was earning award after award at my career. And simultaneously, I was starting to break down behind the scenes. I started to, in my personal life, the first disease I was diagnosed with was rheumatoid arthritis. For those of you who are listening who don't know what that is, that's an autoimmune disease where you have a condition that's where your body's attacking itself. That was the first signal. I didn't realize, I started a hero's journey right then. I thought, I've got to shore this up. I mean, within a week, my hands doubled in size because of the swelling. I suddenly couldn't put on my shoes. I was a really, really good tennis player. Right before that, I was offered a side hustle as a pro at a tennis club across the street, and I suddenly couldn't even hold a racket. I mean, for listeners listening, it was so bad that for 2 years, I couldn't even hold a pen in my hands. Like, I couldn't move my fingers. So I had to memorize everything clients said to me. So to say that it got my attention, Mark, is an understatement. What I didn't realize, though, is that that one disease had quite a bit of momentum, and I was soon diagnosed after that with chronic kidney disease, which is also an autoimmune condition, and then after that, kidney cancer. So, I mean, clearly, that is crazy horrible. Most people don't experience such a dramatic wake-up call, but there may be other things that happen to people that are little signals that your body gives you. That you keep getting, you're starting to get these headaches, or you're exhausted all the time. You know, you're suddenly needing coffee to jack yourself up. And so what I, you know, when I started my hero's quest to kind of turn around those illnesses, you know, I had the situation that many of your listeners might have as well, which is I couldn't quit. I was a single mom at the time, and I still am. And I just felt like, wow, I put in all this work. I'm not, you know, I can't quit and go do a yoga retreat. I've heard of people who do that and heal themselves. But is there any way I could keep working? I could preserve the legacy of what I've created and then get better. So I created this wheel to help my health. And it ended up working perfectly. Jump forward, and I don't suffer from any of those diseases anymore. But one of the most unusual things I learned, Mark, in my journey, I thought that my well-being, you know, project would derail my career. I thought for sure that behind the scenes, while I'm, you know, juicing green drinks and getting all this sleep and trying to save my own life, I thought my career would go down the tubes because I thought it would be very time-consuming. And the opposite happened in 2010, which was like my worst health storm. Between 2010 and 2018, every year was a record year for me, and I quadrupled my income. And so I just did not expect that to happen. What I learned, and which is a total fallacy, is, you know, some people think that well-being will hurt success at work. It's like you have to have either or. People don't realize that actually well-being drives success. And I wondered if I was the only one who knew this, if it's just me. And I decided, you know what, I'll start asking CEOs. I'll start finding out, is there anybody else who knows that well-being actually drives success, that it can be leveraged for power at work? And I started interviewing every entrepreneur I had heard through the grapevine really embodies well-being. And I wanted to hear what they were doing behind the scenes. And I got this entire book is filled with people's stories of what they're doing outside of work so that they can be better as an entrepreneur. It's so much fun.
Yeah, I mean, interviewing people is really amazing. For anyone who hasn't tried, I do recommend doing this because conversations like these are really fun. And in Megan's, like, you know, in this interview, like, you've learned a bunch of things about Megan. You've heard about her journey, but this isn't someone who, you know, like, there's some people who they've got a partner they can lean on when times are tough or something like that. And Megan's talking from the perspective of a single mom. And if, you know, if she stops, like, you know, the family household income goes to zero, while for other family situations out there, if you have a spouse or a significant other or some kind of partner, you have someone to carry some of that weight. But Megan did not have that. So remember, this is coming from someone who, you know, she knows if she leaves the position or she stops, there's no more money coming in. So that, I just want to emphasize that perspective. And I'm wondering, how did you, like, get through that from the single mom perspective? Because it's one thing to, you know that money's coming in, but it's like, you want to do this transformation. You want to avoid the burnout, but you know, if you cut back even slightly, you could be really in a bad place.
Right. And so what was really interesting, Mark, is that, you know, like most people who are, you know, listening, who might be, or you were going to start a well-being project. I started with the obvious things. I thought, I'm going to eat better, I'm going to sleep more, and I'm going to start exercising. And what was interesting, if I had healed myself doing that, I would have just stopped there and called it a day. Like, that would have been great. And I would just been like, on my way and continuing. But I realized there's many layers of well-being. What I didn't have a choice, Mark. I thought, like, if I don't get well, I'm going to die. And then I'll leave my daughters without a parent. So there's nothing like that, you know, to motivate somebody. But I also started to realize almost immediately, just with those first three elements, I have 18 elements I talk about, but those first three are like primary. It's what we all think of when we think of, oh, I'm going to get, you know, kind of handle my well-being. That's where you first land, right? The most common things you think of. But I started to notice, even from those three things, how much better I did at my job. How much, so just this, let's just talk about the sleep, for instance. I used to not think I deserve to sleep because, gosh, you know, I have, you know, my career, this well-being thing is my side hustle. And then I'm, you know, a single mom. And I used to think, I don't really deserve to go to bed on time because if I just stay up an extra hour, maybe I'll slightly get a handle on everything I need to do. And a lot of people feel like that. Like, you know, there's just so much to do. What I found though immediately is once I started to go to bed at 9, I know, like, laugh all you want, but 9 o'clock, I thought I'll give it a try. I woke up the next morning, almost like immediate positive reinforcement. I suddenly was like alert, like awake, you know, and when I was making decisions for my business, it was from so much more of a grounded place. I mean, I had every bad habit in the book. So on my way to work, what I used to eat was, yeah, I just would stop at a coffee shop and get a giant maple scone. I got it every day. I didn't even know it was like 700 calories, but frosted. I mean, it was delicious, but I mean, seriously. And I'd get to work like kind of feeling heavy. I didn't even realize it, that I, you know, wasn't helping me. It was actually hurting me. And one of the overarching, you know, messages I have is we have this culture where we're so busy during the day, we think that we've been good. And then at the end of the day, you go, oh, I've been good all day. Now I can be bad. And what I mean by bad is that sometimes our default is that we pick up habits like make a, you know, yummy macaroni and cheese dinner, have a couple glasses of wine or a drink, and then watch Netflix all night. But for those of us who want to be the best in the world at what we do, those like I'm being bad habits bring you down. And I'll give you an example that's like super inspiring. So in November, J-Lo, the singer, was in Vegas and she told all her Insta followers, look, I'm going to be in Vegas for 25 days. I have 17 nights I have to perform. And I'm really worried that I don't want to, she said, I don't want to go down. Because that's like a ton of energy I need to perform at my best for 17 shows in such a short amount of time. So guess what her solution was? So fascinating. To exercise more. Exercise more. And her solution was to be in the best shape of her life so that she could perform really well. And incidentally, she went over 100 million in sales that month. And I'm not surprised. She said she soared right through it. But that's not how our culture thinks. We think, oh, you know, we don't train like an Olympic athlete to show up in our entrepreneurial ventures in our best way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I like that. And I like the Olympic athlete example because a lot of people can relate to sports. And with me, I have a similar exercising scenario where going into high school, cross country is going to be a big time investment because I still have the business at the time, not the podcast, nothing like what it is now, but I thought I would not be able to work on the business. I thought it would hurt that I was doing the extra running and giving myself what was really like 2 hours of extra fitness a day. But
that's a lot. Yeah.
It really helps you. It makes you think sharper. And then if you do get the exercise, if you better yourself, that is going to have that reinforcement loop where you just keep on bettering yourself and bettering yourself and in a way where you're also caring about, you know, your wellness. So
right.
Like a really great example there, like really think about being the best, like think about those bad habits, think about what's preventing you from being the best and really honing in on that thing that makes you the best. So I'm wondering if you could share with us how you were able to strike down some of those bad habits.
Turn that around. Yes. So what I did is I looked at every single thing I was doing, every single thing I was thinking, everything I was eating, everything I was drinking. And what I realized, I had so many bad habits that were circling this wheel that I started to, I figured I'm sicker than anybody I've ever heard of, seriously. And I speak all over the United States to workforce audiences. And I've rarely had anyone come up to me that says, I was sicker than you. I was in a bad state. I realized that I had so many bad habits circling this body, mind, and spirit wheel that I started to just do the actionable opposite. I read every book I could think of that had to do with well-being. There was no central place that I could really tap into. There was no websites back at the time. And that's why I wrote this book. I mean, if I had this book, I would have suffered. And, you know, I really am committed to serving now. I mean, that's why I decided to do this project is because I know there's, you know, tons of people who behind the scenes are breaking down. They're not really sure what to do. And they have the mistaken thought that well-being will take too much time and it won't be leveraged. But what I'm so excited about. So I'll give you some examples. So as far as like hydration, I never used to drink water. I know people laugh, but hey, I know there's a lot of people. I used to drink a Diet Coke for lunch. Seriously. I'll just tell you all my bad habits. I used to drink wine for dinner, like a couple glasses because I deserved it because I had done, you know, so good all day. I used to stay up super late. I used to never eat vegetables. Like I used to consider pesto a vegetable. And I used to think in my mind, and maybe you can relate, that, you know, it's just temporary. My little crap diet here is just temporary, you know, but what would happen, Mark, is it just weeks went by and then weeks turned into years. And those kind of things can wear on your physical well-being. That's like, we've been talking just about body practices, but there was also a lot of mind things. So once I started to not feel well, I kept focusing on that. I had a focus issue. I would say, gosh, my hands hurt so bad. And then I'd think a bad thought. It would be like a little loop. I'd think, gosh, my hands hurt so bad. Oh, I wonder if I'm going to have rheumatoid arthritis forever. Oh, this is so incredibly stressful. And it was like a loop, you know, so you had to completely reorient my thinking. I started to meditate where I never would ever have stopped before. I'm a person that is like naturally in motion. And that's like the hardest thing for me to do is just be still. So I started thinking about ways I could relax, ways I could quiet my mind. And interestingly, the more I quieted my mind, even 10 minutes, the better ideas I got for business. Like I'd be sitting there just meditating, emptying my mind, and like an idea for my new business would go like right across my head. Like that's how I thought of the title for my book. I was just sitting there. Like I wasn't thinking about the book, but it's so interesting that intuition can strike when we stop these habits that are like, go, 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 go. You don't notice anything. Like, where have you gotten some of your great ideas? Have you been like in the middle of doing something or is it more quiet or what about for you?
It's always during a pause. I mean, one of the things that a guest said to me earlier is you either slow down to speed up or speed up to slow down. And in some cases we do have to slow down to speed up.
Say that again.
Slow down to speed up or speed up to slow down.
Oh my God. I love that.
I love it too. Yeah.
That's fantastic. I've never heard it said like that, but that's why I'm so passionate about this topic because it's not intuitive. As entrepreneurs, we think there's not enough time. If I don't get this done, I'm going to lose funding or we won't be able to make payroll. I mean, there's only so much time in a day. I need to maximize every moment. But pulling back for a moment, you can kind of see. We were just talking about how you can see your month-long calendar when you look at it, you know, from behind, you know, like as a helicopter view. And I think that's the same way with our life when we take a step back. That's what I started to journal a lot just to kind of understand the truth of my life. And, you know, another thing that's really unexpected that can be very good for people's well-being, especially entrepreneurs, guess what? What goes first when people get super busy is their hobby. And I know it sounds crazy, but when I interview very high level people and I say, what's your hobby? And if they can't answer what it is, or they go, oh my God, you know, what do you mean? And I said, what did you used to do when you were a kid that you loved and that you still do now? If they say, I don't do anything I used to love as a kid now, I know that they're not well. I can tell right away because that if you have a spirit lifting hobby, let's say you were really good at, you know, running when you were a kid, maybe you really loved track and field, right? You don't run now. I mean, that was something that lifted you when you were younger. I mean, and do you still run?
I still run.
See, because you're successful. But I'm telling you, it's like clockwork when I hear that an executive, someone I was interviewing said, I used to dance. And I said, why don't you dance anymore? They're like, well, I'm not a kid anymore. I'm like, but you loved it, right? And they said, yes. And interestingly, that day they went and signed up for a hip hop class, called me back and said, I have never had so much fun. You know, and people have a million excuses. Like, they used to be a motocross, you know, racer. Oh, I can't do that anymore. You know, I'm not on the circuit. I'm like, you could go and observe it. You could be a spectator, you know, and just have that infusion, you know, that we've all felt of like, we love it. Like, we love that. It was fun. And, you know, that kind of well-being is really hard to describe. But I think people who are listening know what I mean. You know what I mean? It's just this joy and it's passion in it. It's like a vitamin.
Yeah. I mean, I love how you bring the dancing up because that relates to, I'm an icon of influence at the New Media Summit. That's, I do the event twice a year, a bunch of podcasters come up, a bunch of attendees get to be on other shows. But, one of the things I did for the most recent one was anytime dancing was going on, I went on the dance floor. Now I'm no dancer, but I did go on the dance floor. So to your point about the dancing, some people say like, oh, I danced in the past, but now I can't do it now. Or you see runners, for instance, like if you could break 5 in the mile, for instance, and then, you know, you stop running for a while and now you're like, oh, I don't want to run the mile because I don't want to not break 5 or something like that. Whatever.
You got a standard, you know, we all were better when we were younger, right?
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. And I think it's really interesting. See, a lot of us think that we don't have time for that. You know, recess is over. We're not kids anymore. And we have this such a negative attitude. But those things brought us joy, whether it was, you know, gardening or whatever that hobby is. But also, too, hobbies. And, you know, I did a lot of research on this. It's an amazing book called Flow that was, you know, runaway bestseller a couple of years ago. And I quoted it in the book. And the Chazit Mahai is the author, but the book Flow talks about how when we take our great brain, you know, the amazing brain that you have for your entrepreneurial business, and you set that brain doing a hobby, it's using it and it's challenging, and you're at like a threshold where you experience flow. And that flow is incredibly powerful for well-being. Like I said, like a vitamin. It's, you know, you're challenged and it's fun. And that's when time stops. You didn't even notice an hour went by. You were having such a great time. I have one of the executives in the book, Riley Etheridge, is a guitar player and he's a singer and songwriter. And he said he loves that flow feeling, like it's a drug. And you'll always know it's a flow activity, and you know you can only get that from your hobbies. It's very different. You're energized. It's not like, oh, I'm exhausted now that I ran. Nobody says that. They either say I got to take a nap or I got to go for a run. Have you ever heard people say that?
Yeah, I've said that.
Because it's energizing, you know, when you do something you love to do.
Yes. I mean, that's a really great point. I mean, flow, like that's definitely comes to stuff that we love. Hobbies are really important. And meditation was another thing you mentioned. Now, I know Megan's book, Reinvent the Wheel, which for people in the video, there it is. For people listening, you could get it on Amazon. But like, what would you say are some of the other habits and things like that that you saw these big time CEOs have in common?
Yeah. And, you know, for people listening, you know, I wanted to go and find big time, like you said, big time CEOs. I interviewed John Mackey, the co-founder of Whole Foods and the current CEO. I interviewed Yannick Silver, who is the founder of Maverick 1000. I interviewed Kara Golden, who's the founder of Hint Water, doing $100 million in revenue with her company. She's here in San Francisco. Just phenomenal people. I wanted the highest level people I could find who embody this. And because I figured if we're all reading it and if they can do it, we can, right? I mean, I'm not busier than the CEO of Starbucks, right? You know, I mean, he's really committed to well-being. He gave me the cover endorsement. So what I found that's really interesting is that they believe as a whole that well-being saves them time. So I'll give you an example of John Mackey. So when I was interviewing him, he said, okay, you know, one way you can really save time is if you're traveling, bring all your food with you. Okay, so my old self, I just fully admitted right there, oh, I'm the one who's getting a donut or a cheese croissant in the airport, standing in the line for 15 minutes, getting a greasy, horrible thing. He's got, you know, fruit and nuts in his carry-on bag, and he doesn't waste time like that. He also makes his breakfast in his hotel room every morning for himself. He does steel-cut oats. He brings his own rice cooker with him everywhere. I couldn't even believe it. But a lot of the habits that I share in the book are, you know, real life people who consider well-being as a time saver, which I never even had thought of, you know, because keep in mind, my old habit was, oh, I don't have time for well-being. I just got to get to work. So instead of standing in line, you know, at a coffee shop in the morning, you know, if I get coffee, like I love Starbucks, I have to admit. I do the app. I don't ever stand in line. I mean, just get the Starbucks app. Or if I do a green drink, I blend it at home. It takes 2 minutes, you know, and then I just bring it in the car with me. Some of the other things that people mention that save them time is like Cara Golden for the Hint water. She has water always near her, you know. So if you have a, you know, a healthy habit and you have a full stock in her company, they have fridges filled with Hint water right there. So everybody's hydrated on her stuff. And it just, I realized if I have a special green tea that I like to bring, when I saw you last week in New York, I had a whole bag of, you know, my favorite green tea, because, you know, when I go to a catered place where there's going to be catered food, you never know. And like, they don't have great organic tea. So I bring my tea with me, or make sure that I have water in a water bottle, you know, that's ready to go. So I don't reach for a soda. I don't drink soda anymore, but like, if you know, you try to avoid temptation of stuff that'll bring you down.
And I love the idea of bringing the food with you. That is something my family also does. And you can use Whole Foods also. They now have a thing where you can get the food straight to your door. So, I mean,
oh, I've done that.
Used it for San Diego, first time ever. And we're just going to keep using it because it's something that makes sense. Instead of going to the physical store, you get the food delivered to you. So that's right. Another thing I want to add.
I've done that. And I think that's amazing. And you can just do it right from your computer on Amazon.
Yeah.
Like is that how you did it? You ordered it through Amazon.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't like going to stores. I can't stand it. Some people love looking through, you know, and handpicking their veggies. No, I don't have time to do that. I mean, I'd like to say I have time to do that, but I don't. In fact, I DoorDash everything. You know, I don't even cook, Mark, seriously. I mean, I have healthy food here for myself and the girls, but I'll be honest with your audience. I mean, I don't cook at all, ever. In fact, you know, we're living in a hotel right now because my house flooded this summer. And, you know, the insurance company was like, so, you know, we're so sorry you don't have a cooktop there. I'm like, it doesn't matter. I never cook. We're like, wow. No, but seriously, it saves time. And I still can DoorDash. And we're here in California. I can DoorDash a lot of healthy things, you know, over here. So it's good. Yeah.
Well, Megan, this has been a really awesome interview. Your book, Reinvent the Wheel, I definitely recommend it. I'll hold it up for all the people watching the video one more time. For people who are listening in, you could get your copy of Reinvent the Wheel on Amazon. You can also check out Megan at meganmcneely.com, which we'll throw in show notes and places like that. But once again, Megan, thank you so much for coming on the show. Is there any final word or additional place that we could find you as well?
I would love, if anybody has any hacks or is excited about well-being and they found something that really works for them, I would love to share with the community. And just write me at my private email. It's megan@meganmcneely.com.
All right.
I'd love to hear from people. I'm here for impact and I'm here to serve. I promised myself if I ever lived through that situation that I would give back. And I really love to spread the word if people are using things that help them show up with more power.
Yeah, that's really awesome. Thank you for sharing the email, because That gives people an easy way to reach out. Like, let them know.
And I answer it. I don't have an assistant answering that email. It's me.
So that's awesome.
I'd love to hear from them. Thank you so much, Mark. You're awesome.
Megan, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Talk to you soon.
Do you want to be stronger than broken? My friend Stacy Green helps people with their relationships and with achieving their personal and professional goals. She is also the author of two books, Stronger Than Broken and Letters to the Dead Men, which are both available on Amazon and will be in the show notes for this episode. Anyways, thank you guys for taking the time to join us on this episode of Breakthrough Success. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And what I want you guys to do is to dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today.